everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 493, the 493rd edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're calling this one the Weakness Edition because I'm feeling mighty tired. I know you've been working like a dog, right, Steve?
Yeah, the last couple days, yeah.
So, you know, we're both on the, a little on the low on energy side, but we got a lot of really cool and interesting stuff to talk to you about, so hopefully you're going to find what we got for you interesting. This is the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. You can find this and all of the other episodic friends that it may or may not have made. Who knows? There could be a fight. We don't know. But they're all listed over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. It's just the name of the site as well as the URL. It kind of helps to have everything kind of all sorted out, you know. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, anything else you'd like to send our way, you can either email me at paul@caffeination.com or you can email
me at steve@caffeination.com.
That's right. You can also email caffeination@gmail.com for general show news. You can go on over and just check out the website. We have all the different ways you can get into contact with us, including our phone number, 215-240-1319, twitter.com/caffeination and /lostfears for my good buddy Steven. We have a wonderful Facebook fan page as well as a horde of other things to talk about, other ways you can get a hold of us. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. You should really take a moment in your day if you'd just like to head on over there. There's a fantastic plethora of content over there. There's 130 shows that are listed in this network. Every single one of them has agreed to create the child-safe content, and I always kind of gloss over that when I'm talking about it. But it's really nice to be able to put a podcast on your speakers in your office or wherever you happen to be and not worry about objectionable content coming out. Everybody's over there incredibly passionate about what they're talking about. They're all geeks, nerds, dorks, whatever you want to call them, but everybody's really passionate about technology. So it's kind of an interesting place to go to find a really cool podcast to listen to. So head on over there and check that out. All right, today's show, we're bringing you the fun one lame joke at a time, and I couldn't find any really bad jokes this week. And I realize we've been kind of letting it go, and you haven't been saying anything.
No, I haven't thought of any myself.
Yeah, well, I also think that you're kind of just, if I don't say something, you're just trying to let it slide so that we don't bring any other bad ones up.
Yeah, probably.
But, all right, so how you doing caffeination-wise tonight?
I got a little bit of iced tea left, and I'm drinking Coca-Cola.
What kind of Coca-Cola?
The Mexican brand. Yeah. Of course, it's the one with the real sugar in it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I have to thank one of our listeners, Jimmy, for sending that to the block party. We had a fantastic time. Good time was had by all. And he brought the Mexican Coke with us. And I think on the back of it, it has a Spanish word, refresco or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, so it's all kinds of multicultural over here at the Caffeination. And I'm rocking the regular iced tea from the fridge upstairs. Couldn't find the coffee. My French press was dirty, so I didn't have time to make it. Never like a dirty French press. All right, so we have a really good show lined up for you today. The sponsor for today's show is the Coffee Scoop. You can head on over to their website, freshcoffeescoop.com. They produce wonderful, organically grown, and it's fantastic coffee. It just start to finish. The coffee is roasted when you order it. It is just unbelievable. When you actually receive it, it's kind of like you're getting something a little extra for yourself, something a little decadent. It's a fantastic thing. It was sponsoring the Caffeination for the month of July, so I'd like to send a huge thank you out to the fine folks, Warren and the gang over at the Coffee Scoop. You can find them at freshcoffeescoop.com. Certified organic and guaranteed fresh. All right, and that about wraps up for the stuff that's happening and that we had to talk about before we got into it. One of the weird things I'd like to talk about, we're going to get into the geeky this week, but my Chrome browser has a cupcake on it. I had to mention it. I couldn't just let this one go by the wayside. We're sitting there setting up the podcast, and I'm looking up, and I spouted an expletive and said, why is there a... insert deleted word here, cupcake, on the top of my browser.
And it's been bothering you the whole time.
It has been bothering me. Apparently, I can switch between the cupcake, a beaker, like the Google Labs beaker, a B, and a briefcase.
But the cupcake just works there.
The cupcake works. It has all the right colors. I don't have any extra themes or anything installed. And the only thing I can think of is that it has something to do with the profiles that are on it. But, like... It's bothering me.
It just knows how sweet you are.
Oh, thanks. It wasn't there before, though. Like, I swear. Like, I had this started up. I've used it in other computers. They're all supposed to be the same stuff, and there's a cupcake on my browser right now. I'm confused. I'm going to take a screenshot. I don't know what to do. It's really bothering me. In fact, I might mention it later on in the show, too, because it's just staring at me. Maybe I'll move it a little off to the side of the screen. There, now there's no cupcake. All right, so what'd you do geeky this week, Steve?
I started Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and already I'm about 3/4 of the way through.
Yeah, good job. I've been rocking through Mass Effect 2. I gotta tell you, Mass Effect, the first game, did you ever play that?
No.
Okay, the first game is like, have you ever had a book that you can't put down?
Yes.
Okay, that's what Mass Effect's like, because the story's okay, or not the story's okay, the story's fantastic. The characters are wonderful and deep, and every choice you make in the entire game seems to come back to you at another time. Characters always come back. There's different... if you're really observant, you can see things that are changed and things that happen because you made different decisions in the game. The second version of Mass Effect, Mass Effect 2, you actually import your character from the first one. And all the choices that you made, anything you changed in the galaxy, affect how people react to you in the next one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like if you did something and you did something bad, like I actually went through the entire time the first time and played as a good guy. Like as good as you could be, goody two shoes, reporting things, I would turn them to lost wallets, I mean the whole nine yards. I need to go back to Mass Effect 1 and play it as like a total, like complete devil. You know, I want people to like run screaming when I walk down the hallway. But, you know, and just to see how it's different and see what changes. But Mass Effect 2 is like going back to that series. It's going back to the books that you loved, and all the characters are still there. They've aged a little bit. Things have changed. And you feel like getting engrossed in the story. So I've been staying up way too late playing that. And I was also watching the Avengers, the Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It's a cartoon. And yeah, I love me some cartoons.
Oh, I love cartoons.
There's a really good series. I think there's like 26 episodes or something, and it's on Netflix, so got to Netflix that. It's now a verb and a noun. Did you know that, Netflix?
I did not know that.
Yeah, people are Netflixing things, kind of like people Facebook. So, yeah, that's a little, you know, degradation of the English language there.
Check it out. It'll be on Webster's Dictionaries next year.
Yeah, I think girl was in there this year or something goofy. It was G-U-R-L.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, part of me dies every year that they do that. All right, moving right along. Grr, lion is upon us, for better or worse. Steve's trying not to laugh dead into the microphone.
Oh,
Apple has released their latest in their Big Cat edition of... operating system, so now we got the lion. So yay.
Grr.
Grr, baby. The latest edition of the operating system. It's the king of the jungle, I guess. I don't know where they can go from here. They had Puma, and then they moved on. I mean, Windows kind of jumps around with their different code names. For a while there, they were using cows. They had Longhorn and a couple other ones, and that was then people started making jokes that's because Windows was full of BS. So it's kind of funny to see the different stuff that people come up with, but Apple's really kind of run with the big cat theme, so you know, El Gato, you gotta put it out there if you're gonna go a little Spanish on it. But yeah, the lion came out. Weird thing about it, it's only $29 for the new version of the operating system.
Not bad.
No, but you have to buy a digital download. It has to be bought through the Apple Store, or you have to actually go to the Apple App Store, or you have to go to an Apple store, buy it on the App Store there, and then you have to download it. I've seen different times people have downloaded it in 45 minutes, other people have downloaded it in 5 hours.
Wow.
So, depending on your internet speed, your mileage may vary. They are going to be releasing a version of it on the USB thumbstick, and that is going to be in August, and that version is going to be $69 for the exact same thing, just they're sending you an Apple-branded thumb drive. I'd like to save $40.
But can you use the thumb drive when they're done downloading it?
I don't know what you can do. I think it's going to be locked down, so that's all you can do on it. But either way, it's a little ridiculous. I kind of wish they would stick with the CDs, because I like having the media. I like the freedom that kind of gives you. And now you have to store stuff on other different volumes. So it's also creating some headaches for us in the enterprise world. But, you know, it's not my job to sort it out yet. All right. The next thing we got for you here is Anonymous is annoyed at Google, because Google's apparently been kicking them out and kicking sand in their face over at Google Plus. And Anonymous said, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start our own social network. So they started it out, and it's called a Non Plus. Yep, that's right, and there's a whole bunch of interesting things. Do not click on these links if you are in any way faint of heart. there's bad, naughty language over there. Anonymous is a really weird group because every once in a while they do like incredibly sophisticated hacking. They have like real goals that we're like, wow, if you were a politician and you were saying that, I would almost agree with you. And then they go and do things like throw a hissy fit and, you know, drop the F-bomb all over everything that they're doing. So it's kind of weird. The Anon Plus stuff is still, I think, I don't know if it's invite only, but hey, if you are anonymous, you know where it is. So there you go. Have fun being Legion and all that. But it's interesting to see that they actually have a social network. The only problem I see with this is that them having a social network means that the police now have a place to go to kind of eyeball what they're doing.
Yeah.
So if you have an official channel, the official channel can be shut down. So, all right. What do we got up next?
Well, moving along with the Anonymous' social network, it seems that somebody had the fearlessness of hacking Anonymous. And surprising as that may sound, a couple days after they started up their little social network, a hackers by the name of, it's a Turkish name,
Akinsliar or something,
yeah, something like that.
It's probably even like messed up beyond what it actually is. It's probably like, you know, Anakin.
Yeah. And basically what they did was they changed the logo and basically told them, you know what? You know, go back to the doghouse. And they meant by that because they put a dog on that on their logo.
I love the fact that they did that. It's actually really fits.
And you know what? It's as shocking as it may seem, I think this is going to explode, and I think this is going to turn real ugly, because if anybody knows who Anonymous is, and you know, you've seen what they do or heard what they did, they don't take things lying down, and they go harsh.
I love the fourth comment in there. It says, gets popcorn, because that's pretty much what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit back. I can't wait to see what happens with this whole thing, because I don't really take sides. I kind of think it's kind of interesting to just sit there and watch what the big boys do in this situation, because, you know, hey, I'm a little guy when it comes to the internet. I can't even claim to be mildly internet famous. These are talking about some personalities here. This is kind of fun to just sit there and watch.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next thing, sticking in the not-safe-for-work vein, things that you're not going to hear on the Caffeination podcast, but you can link to and head on over there if the thing actually suits you. Do you know what Comic Sans was before you saw this?
Before I saw it, I believed it was the like a font
okay.
style.
Yeah, and you're not a graphic designer. You're not really digging into the fonts and anything. You're like, okay, Times New Roman, slap it on there, let's go.
That's right.
All systems go. I got my English paper done. We're good. See, like, I'm not a huge font nerd. I like, there are actually font nerds and people who like live for typography.
Really?
I know a couple of them. It's actually pretty scary. They're like, what are you talking about? I need to use Swiss this. And it's like, it's just insane how specific they get about the different fonts that they use for different things. And as a graphic designer, I understand what they're talking about, but there's a certain like point of no return where it's like, okay, I could spend 16 hours looking for fonts online, or I could just get the job done. So
yeah, I've never had time. I mean, as you say, you know, Times New Roman, 12 font. I got a paper due in 3 hours.
Yeah. I believe it or not, I never used Times New Roman for my stuff. I actually just used a font called Verdana, because if you're typing out passwords and stuff, Times New Roman, a lot of the different characters look really similar.
Right.
In Verdana, they're almost all unique. The only one that's actually close to being not unique is the O and the zero. And one of my friends actually modified the font, and we all had the Verdana password font installed so that the O had a slash through it. So, like, he had that installed on our computers, and everybody typed all their emails and everything out in that, and it just looked really funky when you send it to somebody else. They're like, wait a minute, what did you do? But, yeah, I got addicted to Verdana because it's really kind of clean and easy. But Comic Sans is the font that everybody, especially typography nerds, make fun of. So what this guy did is kind of like a stop-motion animation, a little bit of papercraft, and actually walked around as Comic Sans and made like a lot of really boastful marks at all the other pretentious people that exist in his space. Because you know what? The party can't start until that font's used, basically, is what he said. I was laughing, and I sent it to a couple of my pretentious font nerd friends, and they were laughing too. It said, you know what? We'll give the font its props, but it still needs to die in fire.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, I've seen things like political signs done in it, and it's like, it looks like somebody drew them with a crayon, and you're like, really? That's what we're going with? You're a professional organization, and you can't even just keep the default on? Because, I mean, that you would have been better off with that. You switched it to a goofy font. So if you head on over there, and you're any kind of typography nerd, you owe it to yourself to kind of eyeball that one. It's pretty good. All right, next little thing we got for you here from one of my favorite websites on the internet, theonering.net. Yes, the home of all things Tolkien. They've released what all of the dwarves look like for the upcoming Hobbit movies. There's going to be two of them. So the first one, I don't know where it's actually going to stop, but the second one I'm pretty sure is going to have a big helping of Smaug into it, so it should be kind of fun. He's the dragon at the end of the book.
Yes, I know.
Okay, you've read the book?
I've read
the book. Or you've just seen the cartoon?
No, I've read the book.
Okay. So what do you think of the dwarves? Did you get a chance to eyeball them?
I eyeballed some of them. Not too bad looking.
No, I like how they all kind of look different. In the Rankin and Bass one, they all kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
There's only one that really I just didn't get. It's like the Ori and Nori, I think it was. It's the two younger ones. They're sitting there, and it just they don't look like dwarves. They look more like little elves or gnomes or anything like that.
Right.
They're right over there. But so, I mean, they came out and they showed you what everybody's name is. Balin looks really good. And his brother, Dwalin, who's like just looks like a giant BA. I mean, he comes out, he's like all scarred and tough. They all look like dwarves pretty much. And
right.
They all have their own little personality, so it's kind of cool. And I gotta love Bomber being a giant fat dude, because I mean that's just it has to happen that way. So the OneRing.net is a massive fan site. They broke a lot of the casting news when it came to the Lord of the Rings, and I know everybody's talking about Harry Potter, but you know what? I'm a Tolkien nerd. I can't get away from it. I'm sorry. I was more excited about the fact that they were releasing pictures of a movie that's not coming out for another year than the fact that the Harry Potter finished up in the theaters and they made like $1 billion. That's perfectly fine. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
I go for real fiction. Come on. I know I'm probably going to get flamed for that one. All right. Next one up there. Yes, and I've never read the books. All right, I'm going to duck under the table while you take the next story.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Well, next up we have a phrase that many people should know, but I guarantee some of you don't. It's, shall we play a game?
And, shall we play a game?
Exactly. And if you don't know what that's from the, I believe it's 1983 movie, War Games.
Yeah, yep.
Had this pause there for a second.
that's from the massive computer Whopper. And
yes.
The password Joshua to get into it.
That is right.
Yeah, so I love that movie. It was so goofy for the time, and it was just so perfect. It was like, you know, hacking into the Pentagon's computers to change changing your grade and messing something up. Do you remember when he logged into the one computer for the first time, and he was using an audio coupler? I've never used an audio coupler. It was a thing where you actually had to take your phone off the hook, and he put it on that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've never used one of those things. But I remember when he logged into Whopper for the first time, it gave him a list of different things you could do. Would you like to play a game? And then it came across like tic-tac-toe and all these things. And then the bottom thing was global thermonuclear war. And of course, that's the one he picked.
You can't pass that up.
No, you can't. I mean, global thermonuclear war. That's exactly what you need to do. Thank God he didn't pick the biological terrorism one.
Well, I know his tic-tac-toe would have been second on my list.
Well, he made Whopper play tic-tac-toe until
right.
he couldn't win. But I hope we didn't spoil that for anybody. Yeah, you know, it's only been like 30 years since the movie came out, but the best part about that was I actually replicated that login screen on a lot of my different servers. So whenever you logged in, that's what you saw. And if you were if you had enough cojones to actually pick global thermonuclear war, there was an Easter egg where it would actually come up, and like I had another screen from the movie that I had, you know, meticulously typed out in ASCII art where it had, you know, like the next screens for it. And I actually got somebody a little worried. They said, "What did you do to the server?" Nothing. You didn't pick the last one, did you? That was fun.
But it's a great design to a t-shirt, you know. I'm actually thinking of getting it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Redbubble's had a lot of really good, that's Redbubble. They've had a lot of really good t-shirts out recently. So, but you know, it's $25 for a t-shirt. That's a little steep.
Yeah, I mean.
So I don't know if it's like they're $25 because it's a one-off.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you're buying each individual design printed individually. Or is it because, I don't know, because I know some of the other t-shirt companies that like T-Fury and stuff, it's like $9 or $10 because they print just like a ton of them.
Yeah.
And they have orders ahead of time. So.
With this, you know, you can pick your color. And of course, you know, if you pick a light color, you're not going to see, you know, Shall We Play a Game?
Oh, it has to be black. It has to be black and green. There's no other colors you can make that. I still change my terminal colors when I'm working on something to black and green just because it looks right.
I don't know if you're a big fan of purple. Purple works.
No, it does not. Purple does not work. You know what? You're going to get a cupcake on your browser in a minute. All right, and then the next shirt we have, also from Redbubble, is actually a little Tolkien-esque there. They have the ring, the inscription on the ring going around on the top side. It's a takeoff on the Disney thing, and it's, you didn't even see that, did you? That's how bad I am. Okay.
I noticed.
It says, Mordor, one does not simply walk in, except Mordor is done in the specific Disney font. So they have the Tower of Barad-dûr, they have Mount Doom, and then they have the Lidless Eye of Sauron up at the top. So that's fantastic. I would buy that over the Shall We Play a Game, just because it's just awesome. And I'm a giant Tolkien nerd. I don't even care.
You were looking.
What?
I'm laughing because you were looking for your Gandalf bookmark, because on the bottom it says, one does not simply walk in. Oh, that's a quote from Gandalf. Who's that?
Yeah, I almost had to assassinate my co-host before we did the show. So it's like, hi, I'm Paul. And that gurgling you hear in the background, Steve, as he recovers from his concussion. It's like, you're going to need to leave my house now. You probably like Harry Potter.
No, I do not.
The movies aren't bad. But, yeah, I don't understand the hysteria, I guess I can say. All right, next one, I believe this one's yours as well.
Yeah, it is. It's Forever Marilyn. And
we're not talking about Manson.
No. What we're talking about is a 26-foot statue of Marilyn Monroe in Chicago. Oh, yeah, tall woman. And... you know, this was just one of those things that I saw, and I thought you people would want to, you know, check it out if you're in the Chicago area. You know, it's down by the Pioneer Court. Personally, I don't know where that's at, but I got a couple of friends who could probably tell me.
Yeah, we got to talk to Electra.
That's right.
So it's like, have you seen Marilyn? Can you do a little investigating on it and see exactly what's what?
And what's funny is, you know, I was looking through a couple of pictures, and it's basically, you know, she's posing out of, you know, the most famous pose she's ever done. And every picture I've seen, everybody's doing the same thing. They're looking up the skirt. And fortunately enough, she is wearing undergarments, so we're good there.
Yeah, well, I would assume she would have to. I mean, that would be some serious performance art if they actually went that far. Because is this a sponsored thing?
No. In fact, what's funny about this is the president of the company who owns the, you know, area right there, the Pioneer Court, he put it up there just to make people think.
He did it?
Well, he didn't put... He, you know, got people, you know, to put it up there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He basically paid for it to stay up there till spring of next year just because he wants people to think about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like people to think about a lot of things, like, but I don't know about a 26-foot Marilyn Monroe. You find some weird stuff, dude.
Good advertisement.
There you go. I mean, maybe if, like, you were going for Gold Bond medicated powder, it's like the 7-year itch. It's like, bam, Gold Bond, or tough actin, tenactin. Just have John Madden sitting next to her. Boom! Tough actin, tenactin. And
I'm going to choke on my ice cream.
All right, the next story we got for you here is Broken Core. It's yet another Portal 2 story. Wheatley, the defective core that actually existed within the GLaDOS mainframe, also had a lot of friends, like the one that was talking about space. That's the green one right there, I believe. Space? Space? Space, man? Space? Space?
Space?
And then, like, they have the other ones that's just spouting, like, weird facts that are all incorrect, like, massively incorrect. And, like, what this person did was they actually made tiny little handmade phone key fobs from the busted cores. I think this is perfect. This is awesome. No word on how much they are. They were actually sold at a convention, so I don't really know. It's called Odafest. So I looked it up, and there's a couple different ones, so I'm not sure which one it was. But it's just, I think that's really cool.
It's a neat.
I like it. This is another take on the lemon thing.
That's right.
So, yeah, we might have to put a lemon in our logo because we keep talking about this thing.
Yeah, instead of that coffee bean, you know, yeah, maybe no, a lemon. No.
You want that concussion again? All right, next story, quickly.
All right. Next story is basically Darth Vader full of hot air. And you like where I went with that, didn't you?
Yeah, there you go. I see what you did.
And what this is you know, German, I'm sorry, Belgian balloonist, I guess it's Benoit and Michael Lambert.
Michel,
is that what it is? Yeah,
Michel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's no A in there.
I apologize.
All right, you know, you apologize.
I apologize. basically, was able to finance enough to where they built a Darth Vader helmet for their hot air balloon.
I just figure I'd put it out that we do have people who listen in Germany and Belgium, so I think you might get some hate mail on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You confused the two, man. Come on.
I'm sorry.
Good waffles, and the other one goes all for the beer. No, just kidding.
And
Belgians
yeah,
have good beer too.
It's you know what? It's a great design. I think it's a great way to arrive to any type of party. And if you're in the Nevada area, you know, check them out. They'll be at the Great Reno Balloon Race.
You know, I went to a balloon event. I don't even know if it was a race. I think it might have just been, I don't know, a large collection in Binghamton, New York, when I was younger. My family took us up there because my mom and dad had friends in the area. And it was insane. Literally, there were balloons from every possible shape you can imagine. And I could swear that somebody had one that looks like Darth Vader, but it was nowhere near this good.
Right.
And but, like, there were... You know, this we're talking, like, maybe back in the mid-90s. Like, early to mid-90s. And there were, like, 300 or 400 balloons in the, like, this one giant field. And you could go there and you could pay some of them for rides. And it was just, like, fun to sit there and watch. So I like hot air balloons. They're really kind of cool. 1853, Montgolfier brothers went up in the first hot air balloon. Just, you know, little Highlander trivia for you.
Well, that's a fun fact.
Yeah, a little fun fact. No clue why that's still stuck up in my head. All right, next one, Steve?
Next one, yeah. Of course, it's the Dark Knight Rises trailer, and basically what it is, it's the trailer to, I guess, what I thought was the trailer to the new Dark Knight movie, which is coming out, and unfortunately, I was duped. I thought it was actually real, and if you've watched it, you know...
It looks plausible.
Yeah, you know what? To me, I was watching it, I was like, wow, that looks like it's going to be an alright movie. And what stuck out to me right away was the fact that, you know, I saw a mask who was the Frankenstein from Death Race. And I said, you know, he can't be in that. You know, I didn't realize that was supposed to be like a mask for Bane, who is the main villain in this. And, I was pretty much duped. I actually watched the original about 20 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robin Williams as Hugo Strange is actually scary.
Yeah, they haven't shown any stills of him yet as Strange, but Doctor Strange in all the comic books has this, like, weird kind of white beard that, like, outlines his jaw, but it's really bushy and sticks straight out.
Yeah.
So he's been growing a beard.
Yeah, which is...
And it's been pretty epic. And I think he did that for his Broadway show.
I think
so.
So
he
yeah.
could shave that down to be like,
Dr. Hugo Strange.
Yeah, and like, you know, if you've ever seen Insomnia or 1 Hour Photo, he's a creepy villain. Like
yeah.
as happy and as, you know, go lucky as he, you know, happy go lucky as he is in all the different interviews and everything, he is his comedy in real life.
Oh yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, when you say Robin Williams, you think of all these comedies and everything like that, but you never could see him as, you know, a villain or, you know, somebody with a bad
He was like a serial killer in the one.
Yeah,
like
in that 1 hour Insomnia.
Yeah, well, he didn't kill any. Well, he tried to kill people. He tried to abduct the family in right. 1 hour photo. I think he was creepier in that one because he looked a lot more normal.
Yeah.
And it was just he was just evil. That was awesome.
It's the fact that when he becomes a villain, he can become a villain.
And a lot of people on some of the different boards were talking about it because it was joked that he was going to become the Riddler because it would have worked, but he's a little bit old for the role now.
Yeah, he's too old.
And they're not going to do the Riddler in the Christopher Nolan versions of Batman.
Which is good.
First of all, I'd like to see them get in some of the new villains, and I love the idea that they picked Bane because not a lot of casual fans know who Bane is. He's basically a psychotic wrestler, for lack of a better term, and he's pumped full of like this steroid called
Venom.
Venom, there it is. Thanks. That's pumped directly into his brain, makes him insane, but he retains his intelligence. He's like one of the most well-read and dangerous foes Batman has ever had.
Yeah.
And in fact, he destroyed Batman in one saga called the Nightfall series. He actually broke Batman's back. He broke the bat. And it's an iconic scene. And like Batman was then succeeded by other characters, and he eventually healed and came back. But like there's talk whether or not they're actually going to go that far, cuz this is the final story. So if this is the final episode of the trilogy, could you imagine at the end of the movie if he snaps Batman's back?
That'd be sweet.
I mean, if the villain wins.
You don't see that ever either.
No, and you know what? The thing I was telling to you, and I've said this in the article too, is that these things from Christopher Nolan, these movies, the villains have been better than Batman. I don't like Christian Bale as Batman. I don't think he's believable. He doesn't really have a big personality to me. He just has a really gruff voice, and everything all of a sudden is like this. And, you know, he's rich. I love Batman. I just don't like Christopher. Whatever the heck his name is. I've lost it there. Christopher Nolan's the director. But I don't like Christian Bale as Batman. I just never really attached to him. But I love the way that they've portrayed the villains and some of the craziest villains that they put out there. So, I mean, like, Joker was unbelievable. And everybody panned the selection of Heath Ledger before that. So people are kind of coming in and ripping on Robin Williams, saying, why would you have him in this movie? And ripping on Anne Hathaway because she's going to be Catwoman. And it's like, you know what? I'm more than willing to let them kind of play this out because...
Christopher Nolan does a well job with getting them to really come out. My real question is, if you don't like Batman with who he is, Christian Bale, who would you want?
Who would I want as Batman? I don't know. all I can say, like, every time I watch the movies, I'm like, wow, that's an awesome villain. That's an awesome scene. Everything looks beautiful. I just don't believe who Batman is. It's weird. It's like, I like the movies, I just don't like the choice. Like, I can understand it, and I can, suspend my disbelief long enough to actually enjoy the movie. But after I'm done, it felt like it could have been better with somebody else.
Right.
Like the guy, this dude, who plays in Limitless.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he would have been a great Batman. Because he has, like, the kind of millionaire playboy attitude.
You know what? You're right.
And he could serious it up. I think that's what bothers me about Christian Bale. It's like, when he's being Bruce Wayne, he's not carefree enough. He still looks like this stoic...
Right.
In most of the Batman stuff, Bruce Wayne is considered, like, a socialite. He's considered a good businessman, but nobody that needs to be taken seriously. And... not even talking about the campy Adam West version, but, well, yes, Miss Kitkat. Or the version of the Joker from that one where you could actually see his mustache under the paint.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's just one of my weird things, that's all. All right, moving right along to Stained Glass, comic book Stained Glass art. A wonderful artist by the name of Brandon Michael Barker. I cannot remember if we've talked about this before, but if we didn't, I didn't have the direct link to the guy's stuff. He's done iconic ones such as Detective Comics with Batman in it, the Action Comics, the first appearance of Superman, It's the mystery, Journey into Mystery, where the appearance of Thor, and some of the other really, really beautiful pieces, and they're all commissions that he's done. They have the Fantastic Four, and I think one of the funniest ones that is that they have is kind of like the Vitruvian Man with from Da Vinci, with Bebop from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's just one of those things where you have to do the double take, because everything else is like really kind of on point with how they were shown in the comics. And then you have Bebop.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's not even Bebop. What's the other one? Rocksteady?
Bebop and Rocksteady,
there
yeah.
you go. So, I mean, maybe we'll have a little throw a little Kang love in the background on there.
Bringing back the past. I yeah, remember these now.
Got to go with that. So, I mean, hey, you know, it's just kind of fun. So, you know, he's a student at Purdue. He's in his 30s, and it's just that you know, that's a great talent to see. All right, moving right along. That is the last thing we got for you in the GeekCraft section. Moving right along into the shortened and... kind of sparse food and caffeinated bits.
Yeah, it's been that way a couple of...
Yeah, I don't know. People aren't drinking coffee. I mean, come on, man. It's iced coffee time. So, yeah, you got your iced coffee, your iced tea. It's all good. All right, relaxation drinks. This has been making the rounds a lot because for the last 10 years, everybody's been hitting up the energy drinks, and Red Bull, 5-Hour Energy, and everybody's been going on kind of like the crazy, caffeine and sugar highs.
Yeah.
And, you know, like then you got other crazy stuff thrown into Red Bull, like guarana and all this other stuff. And every time I see guarana, I think of guano, which is bat poop. And not to go back to Batman, but, you know, still, I'm pretty sure he'd be able to make a lot of Red Bull from the Batcave. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, anything that makes me automatically think that way, I can't say, oh yeah, you know what, I'm going to drink some of that. And it tastes like cherry-flavored cough syrup.
Yeah.
To me. I don't know. I don't like it. But hey, you know, that's me. I like my coffee black like I like my soul. So what they're trying to push out there is these relaxation drinks that actually contained a hormone so that called... there's a hormone that helps you release or reduce your levels of cortisone in your body. Yeah, you know what? I'm not really into hormone drinks either. So, and I don't think the cat is either.
No, the cat's not either.
The cat is not a fan of relaxation drinks. That's what alcohol's for.
Yeah, alcohol. I mean, even just, you know, get a cup of tea. You know, sit there, relax.
Relax. You need to close your eyes. Take a breath. Put down the phone. There was actually a story that we're not going to link up in here. Gawker Media put out there this week that Philadelphia released a law that said that they were going to fine people who were texting and walking and texting and people who were distracted on their bikes and stuff like that. However, when they released the story originally, Gawker Media is kind of really the TMZ of the tech world kind of. And... when they released the media, the press secretary from Philadelphia emailed them back and said, what kind of schlock are you putting out there? We never said that we were going to be doing it. We said we were going to be issuing warnings. Like, hey, you know what? You're walking across Broad Street and you're sitting there looking at your phone. You might want to pay more attention to your surroundings. And they published the update. And they, you know, rather than changing the title of the story or doing anything like that to make people... Because like I had a lot of people send me that story and say, hey, what's happening in Philadelphia? It's like, no, read the update. The update says that they were wrong. Gawker Media completely blew something out of proportion. And so it was kind of funny to see that. You know, I love seeing people get slapped around like that. Well, next one, I'm going to let you take this one since you just started experiencing this wonderful
thing. It's funny, too. What it is you know, it's at hartcoandcompany.com, and basically what it is My Drunk Kitchen. And it's this woman who, I'll be honest, you know, she is adorable. She's very cute. And basically she drinks the whole time. She's making whatever.
We have pie. We have grilled cheese where she couldn't actually use the cheese. That was one of the first ones, I think. She tried to make grilled cheese, and she listed the cheese as trapped because she, by the time she got to the cheese, she was so drunk that she couldn't open the package. And it's just... It's not safe for work again, but you know we've had a lot of those links on this one.
Yeah,
but we'll try and intersperse them out. But it's just hilarious, and she's so perky and so happy,
oh, yeah.
And she goes through the entire thing, and she has a way to turn a phrase, which is really just funny. Like the thing that struck me on the taco episode was that she got really plastered, and by the end of it, she's like, "Taco is the most versatile fruit." And you're looking at it going, "What? Why is that funny?" Because it is. It's just wonderful. It's a way to kind of suspend disbelief. This person has no clue at all how to actually cook, it seems. And it's just, it's hilarious. So she had, there's one where she tried to make ice cream, which is the first one that I showed you, where she actually slipped and fell.
Yeah, caught a couple of times.
Yeah, there's another one it was just all kinds of different things. She made pie, she made cookies, she hates baking, she hates white wine, but she keeps ending up doing both of them, so it's pretty funny. But yeah, there's also one where she's dressed up like Mario, and they called it Super Smash Brothers. But I actually think that's one that's a funny one, but it's not her funniest. So
no.
You should head on over to hardoenco.com or just search for My Drunk Kitchen online, and you can find it's over at YouTube too. Her name is Hannah Hart, and she is just hilarious. So I wish her all the best, because this is just really cool.
And a lot of them are starting to pop up, all these, you know, cooking and all that. I mean, you have the Epic Mealtime, which, you know, you and I both watch, you know, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one's another one that I'll probably just keep my eye on.
Yeah, it's just the web series have become really, really good.
Yeah.
And they're really refreshing. It's not like they're just recycling old stuff. Like, I like the Freddie Wong stuff with the visual effects.
I love his stuff.
He's insane. Like, the stuff that he is capable of doing, and he must get paid elsewhere, because he's doing it and releasing these videos for free, because it's just unbelievable. But, all right, the last little thing in our long, rambling edition here of the Caffeination Podcast is the Dr. Drip Coffee Review. Now, it looks a little bit like an AT-AT Walker. It is a single-serve coffee maker. It is made of wax paper and what appears to be an open tea bag with a pre-installed amount of coffee in there. You kind of perch it over your cup, and then it goes to town and try and does what it does. The idea behind this thing is that it's supposed to be an easy on-the-go way to actually make your coffee. Now, it's interesting looking. It has a wonderful little thing behind it. You know, they have the prescription and all that for it. I thought it was really good. When it actually came time to actually brewing the coffee, there wasn't a lot of coffee in there. And there wasn't a lot of room either, so it took me like 4 pours of the boiling water to try and get enough in there and it would flow down. It's a regular pour-over brewing system, which I like. It actually makes you good coffee usually, but the amount of coffee that they actually had in there wasn't really enough to produce like a honest to goodness, like black as night, black as my soul cup of coffee. I could see through the coffee. And usually I can see through tea. When I make coffee, you could shine a flashlight under it and you wouldn't be able to see.
Yeah, I mean, like, looking at the picture now, you know, it's the same color as my iced tea.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. It was smooth, it was very flavorful, it was very good. It was just weak for what I would expect coffee to be. Now, in all fairness, I did try, you know, the organic tonic, and I did make the decaf one, and yeah, you know, I might be tired still because I drank it, but, you know, I'm not a big decaf fan, you know, so it tasted just as good as the other one. They do have 2 other flavors that I didn't try. One's the Sumatran, which I love Sumatran coffee. It just has a really nice flavor profile, and the other one's the extra dark. So maybe the extra dark would actually come with enough to make it, you know, like a dark situation going on, maybe, but who knows. I don't like being the typical American where if it ain't dark roast that I don't want to drink it, but this was... It was actually a weak infusion of coffee there. So I think this thing is definitely going to have a good market. It's a wonderful product. It's $8.99 for 5 of them, though. So that works out to roughly $1.79 a cup of coffee. And it's a little expensive when you consider. I would like them to release just these things, and I would fill it with my own coffee. Because I think that would be a really cool product.
Yeah, that would be.
And I would actually pay for that, because that means that I would be able to take my coffee from home, my really good Guatemalan home-roasted stuff, take it in, dish it out, and make it in the good pour-over style. You get wonderful aroma from that. You get wonderful cups of coffee, usually. And I could stack it up with as much coffee in there as I wanted. So I just think that'd be cool. They might want to make it a little taller, too. But, hey, you know what? That's just my opinion. I'd love to hear what you people think about it. So you can head on over there and send us your reactions to it. Okay, that about wraps it up here for today's Caffeination podcast. We had a lot of stuff to talk about. I think the cupcake actually took the cake, though.
I like where you went with that.
All right, you see what I did with that?
I saw.
See, that was a little tricky. You slipped that in there at the end. It's called bookends. You put it at the front and the back. It's supposed to be funnier that way. See, I'm learning about comedy.
There you go.
See, I'm such an analytical person, I actually have to think about what I'm going to say to attempt to be funny. See, it doesn't really work all the time, though.
Not all the time.
And sometimes when you explain something, it actually becomes funnier because of the overt way in which you explain it. So, all right, so I think that we're done here. It's been Caffeination number 493. Despite the fact that both of us are dog-eared tired, we somehow managed to ramble on for 45 minutes this time.
I think that's the first time I actually was talking a lot more.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
I'm getting there.
Everybody, write in. Tell us how you think Steve's doing. Yeah, we'll vote him off the island
That's right.
you have to send us to an island, and then we'll vote each other off and just sit there at the pool bar. But all right, thanks everybody so much, and stay caffeinated, people.